It is great to have each of you here this evening. On behalf of the church here at Henderson, we extend a cordial welcome to all our visitors. Many of you are here for the week or a major portion of it. We're glad to have you. We want you to call upon us if we can help you in any way. The theme for the lectureship at Fried Hartman this year, which begins tonight at 7:30, is Hearing Wisdom's Voice. Particularly as we think in terms of the year 2000, just around the corner, emphasis is being placed this year upon the subject of wisdom. There is a rather interesting question that was read a moment ago by Brother Langford in 1 Corinthians 1:20, which even in itself suggests the idea of not being exactly right English-wise, but the question is, where is the wise? What are we talking about when we talk about wisdom? If you were to take this lectureship brochure that has in it a list of what's going to be discussed this week and go throughout the city of Henderson and ask them what they believe will be discussed, they would probably tell you, generally speaking, what's suggested in this brochure. But if you were to go to maybe New York City on the street or Washington, D.C. on the street, and you were begin to ask people, what is it that makes a person wise? I'm not for sure that you would get the same answers that you would get in our midst or in our area tonight. What is wisdom? Where is the wise? Who is wise? I will guarantee you that whatever you believe and whatever you do, somebody will call you foolish. Let me give you an example. If you say that there is a God, a lot of the people who live in our country today would say, you are a fool to believe that there really is a God who is our creator, and who has left us his word and who sent his son. There are many in the world today who would call you a fool for believing that there is a God. But God called the man who says there is no God a fool. God said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so I suggest to you that whatever approach you take to life, there's going to be somebody who's going to say, boy, you are wise. And somebody else is going to say, look how foolish that person is. So it is appropriate tonight for us to think in terms of where is the wise and who is going to define wisdom for us. Who is going to define wisdom for us as we make our decisions in life? Although much of what will be included in the lectureship this week will be centering around the book of Proverbs, I want us tonight to just open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 1 and just look for a few minutes right there in that context. I have found that God does a pretty good job of answering the questions that he asks. Unless it is a question that he wants unanswered, or maybe one that man really doesn't have the ability to answer, like some of the questions he asked Job in chapters 37 and 38 when he was emphasizing his greatness to Job. Usually when God asks a question that he wants us to understand, if we will look in the context and do just a little bit of searching, we'll find the answer to it. Where is the wise? First, God says, the wise that I'm talking about are not those who are considered wise in the world. Look at verse 20 and 21, particularly 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world's wisdom, that which the world would call wisdom, is not what is going to really cut it here. What is going to answer the question? What is going to give us what we need? He says, I'm not talking about the world. And if you even back up a few verses and go on down through the rest of the verses, you'll find that God has not chosen the things of the world. Look at verse 26, for example. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God says, I'm not telling you that wisdom comes from what the philosopher, the logician, the one psychologist who would analyze the mind of man. He said, I'm not telling you that this is where the wisdom comes. I'm not talking about the wisdom of the world. Well, what's God talking about? What does Paul say here in this passage constitutes true wisdom? Back up with me, first of all, to verse 17. Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, I want to take just a moment to be sure we don't misunderstand his statement, God sent me not to baptize. Paul was not minimizing baptism. In fact, if you go back to the few verses before, you'll see that even when he was dealing with the question of division, that something about baptism had to do with determining whether or not one was a true Christian and a true follower of Jesus Christ. The context will emphasize that he's not minimizing baptism, but that he's saying that's not the main purpose that Christ sent me for. Or maybe he's saying in general, Christ sent me not to baptize only, but he says my main work is to preach the gospel. The world says today that's foolish. And the sad thing about it, as those of you in the primetime class this morning noticed and studied, there are many in religion that are suggesting that preaching is foolish. And in some instances, even in the church, there are those who say we need to have less preaching. Preaching is foolish. Now, I'll admit to you sometimes we have some foolish preachers. But he didn't say through foolish preachers, he said through the foolishness of preaching. In this very passage, God has chosen to save those that need to be saved. Folks, I suggest to you that in the first place, this passage says tonight in verse 17, that true wisdom involves preaching the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation, isn't it? According to Romans 1 and verse 16. It's that same gospel that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. I preached it to you, you received it, you stand in it, and it's that by which you are saved. What a powerful four-point outline, if any of you preachers haven't discovered that. He said the gospel is what I preached to you, it's what you received, it's where you stand, and it's that by which you are saved. And when we do that, we're saying to the world today that we have here in this book a set of principles constituting the good news of the gospel, and that we are to preach that gospel, that same gospel that was preached on Pentecost in Acts 2, recorded in Acts 2, and that same gospel that we believe is to be preached to the whole world if God lets this world stand for another millennium or however long he lets it stand, that the work of the Lord is to be done through the preaching of the gospel. Remember the Great Commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The world says, oh, you're foolish to think that there is a set of guidelines, a specific set of guidelines given that everybody needs, and if he doesn't get that, he's going to be lacking. God's word says, there's where the wisdom is, the preaching of the gospel. Well, let's look just a little bit further. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. We preach about a cross that stood on Golgotha's brow. And we have let, and if we haven't, we should let, that cross, not just the cross itself, but what it symbolizes, become the very basic foundation of Christianity in everything that we do. The world says, how foolish. Look at all the other things that are involved. Look at all the other symbols that you could have. Look at all the different religions that are there. Look at all the different gods. Look at all the different possibilities. And some would say that cross is no more important than what happened in the death of another of God's prophets, whether it be Muhammad or Joseph Smith or whoever it was. And here in the church, we preach the cross. And we preach that that cross is the central theme that of the entire Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And that what took place on that one day, on that one cross, is where the true wisdom is. The world says, oh, you're foolish to do that. God says, no, understand that the world's going to call it foolishness. The world's going to make fun of you and persecute you in some instances and ridicule you and talk about how foolish it is. But Paul says the preaching of the cross, yes, to them that perish foolishness, but unto us it is the power of God. He said, if you want true wisdom, you preach the cross. But notice a third point that is made over in verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. The Greeks would say the crucified Christ is foolish. But he says we preach Christ crucified. And in the context, he's saying that's a part of the wisdom that we're using. That's the wisdom of God to preach a crucified Christ. Somebody says, oh, you think that one man who, yes, was a good man, and they missed the point there, Jesus could never have been just a good man if he were not the Son of God. He's one of the biggest imposters ever lived. Now, you think about that. Because he claimed to be the Son of God. But people will say, oh, yes, there was a Jesus of Nazareth, and yes, he was put to death, and yes, he had some followers, but you think there's where the answer is? You think the crucifixion of that one man on that one cross that one day is the answer to the world? And especially when we start talking about the blood that was shed on that cross. People don't like to talk about blood, and they do not see the importance of it. Either in talking about it or remembering it as we do on the Lord's Day. And the world would look at us this morning when we assembled around the Lord's table and would almost snigger at us and maybe laugh at us. You take a little bit of fruit of the vine and you sip that and you say that reminds you of the blood of a man that was shed on the cross and you think this is important? Well, look at the second chapter in verse 2 here in the context. Remember, Paul's talking about wisdom generally in this context. He says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Here the world says, oh, if you're going to be wise, you're going to look at all this logic and you're going to analyze the situation and you're going to even with things like the New Age movement come to depend more upon yourself and let your own thinking become your God. There's where the wisdom is. Paul said, no, the wisdom is preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what Peter was preaching on Pentecost. You remember when he came to the end of that great sermon at verse 36? He emphasized to them that you have crucified this same Jesus who's made Lord and Christ. He must have been a powerful speaker because he got the message across to a group of people who usually are the hardest people in the world to convert to Jesus Christ and brought 3,000 of them to believe what he was saying. But what was he saying? The answer is in this crucifixion. Everything that you Jewish people have been talking about down through the ages comes to this very point at this cross and at this crucifixion. And then after that, in the revelation of the Bible and what has happened since the Bible was closed, everything points back to that crucifixion. How many times have you and I heard it said, the blood that was shed on that one occasion goes back to take care of the sins before and comes forward to take care of the sins this side. The blood of one person on the cross one time was shed to take care of all the sins of all the world. And the world says, how foolish. And God says, how wise. Because that was my son, God says, that was on that cross. And that blood that was shed was not just any blood. It wasn't like the blood of bulls and goats and heifers that could never buy really the power over sin. And it wasn't like the blood of anybody else because there never was anybody else just like this one. The world says, oh, you're foolish. To think that some blood that flowed from one man's side there on that occasion is where the wisdom is. Paul says that's where the wisdom is. Preaching the gospel is where the real wisdom is. Preaching the cross, those who do are wise. Preaching the crucifixion on that cross and about the blood that was shed on that cross and singing about the power that is in that blood and singing what can wash away our sins and answering with nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ, that's where the wisdom is. And out of that grows a fourth point. And it's mentioned both in verse 18 and 21 and perhaps mentioned in some ways in other places. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then in verse 21, he says there that after that in the wisdom of God, the world by its wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, notice, to save them that believe. Preaching the gospel, preaching the cross, preaching the crucifixion, and preaching salvation is a part of this wisdom that's being talked about in this passage. You know why so many people think it is foolish to preach about salvation? They're not convinced that they're lost. And folks, it doesn't make much sense to be concerned about salvation if you're not lost. It may be that one of our greatest tasks in getting Christ out to the world to be the Savior is to get people to see that they need to be saved. And we, if we are not careful, even in the church today, are coming to the fringe of that idea that we're not really sure anybody's lost. And if it's not broken, it shouldn't be fixed. And so we may be allowing ourselves to fail to see the true wisdom that is in this because we have not accepted a fact that is taught by our Lord in no uncertain terms in John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I believe that verse, folks. And when I see some people write and speak and suggest that God has some other way of salvation, I can't get this verse out of my mind. I don't want to limit the power of God in any way. God could do anything he wants to. He could have made the way of salvation any way he wanted to. He could have made different ways of salvation if he wanted to. But his Son said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And I don't know any way to preach what I believe to be wisdom except to preach that salvation is in Jesus Christ and nowhere else. And when we preach the reality of that Savior and the unity and the oneness of his church that is described on the pages of God's Word, many times we are crucified, almost, at least criticized, by those in the world and sometimes by those in the church as being narrow-minded and being foolish. Paul said, preaching salvation in Christ by the cross is wisdom. Listen to Ephesians 2, beginning at about verse 12. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of the twain one new flesh, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The world says you're a fool if you teach that. The Bible says that's where the real wisdom is. That he reconciled both, notice, in one body by the cross. And his blood is mentioned in almost everything that we've mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1 is mentioned in that passage. It is wise to preach the gospel. It is wise to preach the cross. It is wisdom when we preach the crucifixion on that cross and the blood that was shed. It is wise to teach that the salvation that is needed by every last one who has left God is found only in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says is wisdom. No wonder he was concerned back about verses 10 and 11 about the division that took place at Corinth. And how people were going off after Paul and Cephas and Apollos and some still referring to Christ. No wonder he was concerned about all of this, because he comes to the conclusion that the real wisdom is when you preach Christ and that salvation is in him. It's also interesting to come down to the latter part of that chapter. After he goes through a rather lengthy discussion contrasting the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of Christ, to verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I want to just pick one of those out and concentrate on it for a minute. Paul said wisdom is preaching righteousness, doing what is right, and that there is a standard between right and wrong. Have you wondered in the last few months if that's the case? Have you wondered in what is called a Christian nation, how many are saying, not in those words, but in other words, that's really foolish? That it is foolish to believe that there is a standard for the home and a man and his wife, a husband and his wife, ought to be faithful to each other? That there is a standard of truth, and when it is violated, it is still a lie? That to steal something from somebody else is not just something that everybody does, but something that violates the law of God? And yes, there is a difference in a sanctification being set apart to live a life that is on the highway of holiness, higher than that which is by the standards of the world. How many times in the last few weeks have we heard even those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ say it really doesn't make that much difference? It's really not right or wrong. There's really no standard of right or wrong. Paul says true wisdom is preaching that there are some things that are right. And that necessarily means there are some things that are wrong. And he's already set up the standard. We've already mentioned it, preaching the gospel. There's where the standard is. Where is the wise? Where are we going to find our wisdom today? Whatever you do, somebody will call you foolish and somebody will call you wise. Perhaps the answer is just by turning one page. At 1 Corinthians 3 at verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. That's a little hard to decipher. If you're not wise in this world, then become what the world calls a fool, that you may have real wisdom, is I think what he's saying. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. That's not where the wisdom is. Oh, we have great technology. We have things discovered that our forefathers never thought about. We're able to do things today that I can't even begin to comprehend. But he says, that's not where the wisdom is. It's not in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And here's where the wisdom is. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Where is the wise? I say to you tonight, for those of us that are interested in serving the living God and following Him, it's in preaching the gospel. It's in preaching the cross. It's in explaining the crucifixion. It's in showing the connection to that, to real salvation. And it is teaching that we are to live righteous lives. Even when we talk about being baptized, Romans 6, buried with Him in baptism, wherein we are risen to walk with Him in newness of life. Wisdom says there's something different about a Christian life. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Folks, there is the wisdom. There is the wisdom, no matter what man calls it, that will take us through this world and into that life that is to come. May God help us to stand firm, to preach that old gospel of the New Testament with the cross, the crucifixion, with salvation, and with righteous living connected to it. And I believe when we do that, we can have an abundant life here and eternal life yonder. And if you're not living like that, you need to come to Christ right now, as together we stand and sing.